Please turn in your Bibles to James and chapter 1. This is where we'll be looking today. And today, the text is really, the key thought is the last eight words in verse 25. The last eight words are, "This man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are not just a holy God, all-powerful God, and many of those other things that make you who you are, but you are a good God, and you love to bless your children. And Father, as we stop and consider this morning, we pray that we would understand a little bit more about you and how we can please you to enjoy those blessings. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Question: do you want to be blessed by God? If you're a Christian, I don't think you're going to say no. Most Christians want to be blessed by God. And I suspect anyone, really, who believes in God wants to be blessed by God. One man who certainly wanted to be blessed by God was Jacob. And even if you know just a little bit about Jacob, you would know that he wasn't the nicest guy, especially in his younger years. His name means deceiver, and that's exactly what he was. He was certainly true to his name. We learn that he deceived his brother to get his birthright. He deceived his father in making out that he was his brother Esau so he could get his father's blessing. He even cheated his uncle when he lived with him as well. And so Jacob certainly was true to his name. But the amazing thing about Jacob is, despite the things that he did, especially in his younger years, God still blessed him. If you look at his life, you see a man who was blessed by God. The Lord looked after him. The Lord helped him. God even changed his name from being Jacob the deceiver to Israel, the prince with God. And the question that must be asked is, how did Jacob change from being a deceiving, cheating schemer into a prince with God who enjoyed God's blessings upon his life? Well, there are many things you probably could come down to, but the key is faith. Faith. Jacob believed that Jehovah was the true God. And Jacob had a burning desire to be blessed by Jehovah. He wanted God's blessings upon him. He didn't want Baal's blessings or Molech's blessings or any of the other false gods' blessings, which were demonically enhanced, or it was demons behind these things. No, he wanted Jehovah's blessing. It was more precious to him than anything else, and he pursued it until he got it. And something that I'm not ashamed to admit is that for the past at least 33 years of my life, I have earnestly coveted the blessings of God upon me. That's not something to be ashamed of. You know, I want God to bless me. I want him to bless my inner man so that I'm joyful and content and happy. I want him to bless my family so they grow to be godly people. I want God to bless my ministries so I see God at work and his name is glorified. I want God to bless every part of my life. And I'm determined, and I have been determined, not every time, all the time, but consistently been determined to seek and enjoy God's blessings upon my life. I know I've had friends in the past that have said the same thing, but as time has gone by, they've chosen the world's counterfeit instead, and they no longer seek God's blessing. Yet regardless of friends or people I've gone to church with who come to church but they aren't seeking God's blessing, I have consistently sought the blessings of God upon my life, and I am glad of the things that he has blessed with me. I'm glad I chose these things. And that's why I like Jacob. Sure, he wasn't perfect, but Jacob had one major thing going for him, and that is he wanted God to bless him. He knew it was God's blessings that really counted. And he was willing, as we learn in the story of the life of Jacob, that he was willing to wrestle with God all night if that's what it took to receive a blessing from God. He was a very determined man to enjoy God's blessings. And I think Christians, if they're lacking one thing today, is a deep burning desire to be blessed by God. The world has so many things to offer that so many Christians are happy and content with the things that the world has to offer, and they don't even seem to bother seeking the blessings of God upon their life. They neglect to seek God. Too many Christians are the poorer because they choose what the world has to offer instead of what God has to offer. But I can say that I, more times than not, I don't want to say all the time because I don't all the time, but I have consistently wanted God to bless me, my family, and I certainly want God to bless this church family as well. But as we see from James, just wanting it isn't enough. Just asking for God to bless you isn't enough as well. We see with everything that James says just about, actions are required. There are certain actions that are needed on our part if we want to enjoy the blessings of God upon our life. God won't bless anyone who willingly remains in sin, regardless of how much they may ask and pray for it. And in James chapter 1, we are shown what we need to do to enjoy God's blessings upon us. As we read, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the good thing is, it's not talking about a particular or specific person. James isn't talking about, say, Abraham, and then go on and say, this man, Abraham, will be blessed in all his deed. No, it's referring to a type of person, where it means any person who acts like this shall be blessed in their deeds. And so this is for us today, just as much as it was when God first inspired James to write this to the believers. If we act in the way that he says, then we will be blessed in our deeds. And so if you want God's blessings to be upon your life, then here is what you need to be doing. So let's see what it says here. I want you to notice two things in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says there in verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." He says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers. And so there is a twofold requirement. You first have to hear the word of God, and then you need to obey the word of God. And so if you want God's blessings to be upon you, these are two actions that need to be found in your life. And so let's have a look at these two. That's all we'll be looking at today. 2 points. First thing is, if we want to be blessed by God, we need to be hearers of God's word. And sadly for many believers, they don't even get this far. They don't even want to hear the word of God. They're not quick to go to church when they're able to go hear the word of God. They're not quick to hear the word of God in their quiet times, when they spend that time as an individual with God. They don't meditate on God's word during the day. And I am certainly amazed at how many people will profess to be saved and say that they love the Lord and even expect God's blessing to be upon them and get upset when he doesn't bless them, yet they don't spend any time in God's word, listening to it, to hearing it preached, reading it, meditating upon it. But if you want to enjoy the rich blessings of God, well then you need to hear the word of God first of all. It's God's word that will renew our mind first of all and keep us on track. Now the word hear, that is found here in this word, this verse, means to listen intently or to have a real interest in it. Now, this also disqualifies a lot of people from being hearers, doesn't it? Because you can hear, but not actually listen intently. Parents will know that with their children. They say something to their children. The children might have heard something, but they're not actually listening to what they have to say. Even men have been known to not listen intently to their wives. Can you believe that? Their wives tell them something, but they don't actually really listen to what they're saying. And the same thing can happen in a church as well. People hear the preacher, but they don't actually listen to what he has said. They're too busy playing with their phones, too busy sending notes to people, or thinking of what they're going to do during the day after that message is finished, or they're just simply falling asleep. But they're not really listening intently to what God has to tell them through the preaching of God's word. How often do you have a quiet time? You read the words, but you're not really listening to what God is saying. You haven't even heard anything. You don't even know what you read. We're all guilty of it. Yet, if we want to be blessed by God, it's not just going through the motions of reading some words on a page. It is listening to what God has to say. Lord, speak to me. I am listening. So some don't even get the hearing right. But if you want to be blessed by God, then the first thing you need to be doing is listening to God's word. Do you put yourself in a place where you can hear the word of God? The fact that you're watching today would be a good sign that you're at least attempting to, but are you actually listening to what God has to tell you? Or you're just going through the motions, just even in a church service, let alone quiet time? First thing is to listen. To hear it, listen intently. But that's just the beginning. Because the second thing is, then you need to obey the word. And that is just as important. It says there in verse 22, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, if you were lost in a desert, and you have a compass, and you know you have to go north. So you take your compass out, you look at the compass, and it says north is that way. All right? And you go, yeah, but that looks pretty tough. I don't really like that way. I think I'm going to go that way and see how I go. If you did that, there's no point actually even looking at the compass, is it? If you're not going to do what it says. And so often that is exactly how we act with the Word of God. We open it up, we look, or we turn it on, or we come to church and we listen. We get told what the direction we ought to go, but we think, that's a little bit hard, I might go this way instead. And so it's completely pointless in listening. We are to be doers of the Word, not just hearers, and there's a very big difference. You see, an unblessed man isn't just the one who refuses to hear the word of God. An unblessed man is someone who hears and still doesn't do the word of God. Both are unblessed people. And among those watching today, I'm sure most of you want to hear the word of God. But unless you actually do what God's word tells you, you're still not going to be blessed by him. And if you like this, if you hear but you don't obey, then James says you are someone who deceives yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You're fooling yourself that you're living how God wants you to live. And often we do that. People like this often feel good about themselves because they actually go to church or they listen. And they've had their quiet time. They've done all the things in hearing the word of God. And they feel as though God is pleased with them. I have gone to every service. I have had a quiet time. And I've taken notes every day this week. And so God must be really pleased with me. But the fact is, if you hear the word of God and then you continue to act in the wrong way, there's no blessings. Just the hearing is not enough. How often have you gone to church, been convicted about something, so you actually were listening, or you read something in your quiet time and you're convicted, yet then you go home and there are no changes? It doesn't change the way you act. That's not a blessed person. That's just someone who hears and gets convicted, but doesn't mean you're blessed. You know, there's a poem. It says, "It is easier to preach than to practice," and that is very true. "It is easier to say than to do. Most sermons are heard by the many, but taken to heart by the few." And too often as Christians, we listen, we learn, but too often we don't grow and we don't change. And that is because we don't actually do what God says we ought to do. And in verses 23 and 24, James describes to us what this person is like. He describes the unblessed person. And what he does is he uses the example of a man looking in a mirror. He says in verse 23 and 24, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." That's a way of describing a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And so we get the picture of a man who looks at himself in the mirror, sees that there are changes that need to be made before he goes out in public. But instead of staying there at the mirror and making the changes, he walks away and he actually forgets. And he's in front of people wondering why they might be laughing or they might be sort of trying to avoid him, forgetting what he really was like. You know, at first when I saw that James was talking about mirrors, I couldn't help but wonder why he mentioned a man and not a woman. Because they seem to like mirrors a lot more than men. But then I could see the wisdom of God in leading James to refer to men rather than women here. Because if he is describing a person who sees themselves in a mirror, sees that there are changes that need to be made, but doesn't do anything about it and goes off and forgets what he was like, well then, that's probably more like a man. A man is probably the ideal picture of this happening. Most women don't do that. But for a lot of men, they'll look in the mirror, see that there are changes that might need to be made, and they'll walk off and not do any. Or they might just do something quick, and that's about it. And so often that's what Christians are like. They see themselves in the mirror of God's word. God reveals to them what they're like and how they need to change. And they might do something quick and easy, if it is easy. Or they just think, oh yeah, okay. And they go off and they continue to live the way they were. People see the way they are living, see that it's not right. And they wonder why people don't see Christ in them. I know for some young, especially young men, they might look in the mirror in the morning and see that their hair, certainly needs to be something done there with their hair. Instead of making the changes, they just cover it up, put a hat on, all right, and off they go. And they forget all about it. And everyone thinks, wow, what a clean-cut person. Until they take their hat off at maybe lunchtime, and everyone, whoa, you should have done something with that hair. Sadly, there are many Christians like that. God's word shows that there needs to be changes, but they prefer to just cover it up. And for the most part, people look at them and think, what a lovely Christian. They're so nice. Until that covering is removed somehow and people realize, wow, you are not what I thought. There are some serious changes that need to be made. And this is the picture of an unblessed man, James says. He hears the word of God. It shows him changes are needed, but he doesn't do anything about it. Maybe that's you. You come to church regularly when we're open. You listen regularly. You have regular quiet times. comes. There is no denying that you are hearing the word of God, but the Holy Spirit's been convicting you about something, saying that changes need to be made. But instead of making the changes that God is telling you need to be made, you just go off and continue to act the same way. Or you cover it up so people don't see. Well, understand that blessings come from obedience to God's word, not just hearing it. And if the Lord is convicting you of sin, blessing will only come when you repent of your sin and you do what God wants. The blessing isn't hearing the word of God and being convicted. The blessing is hearing the word of God, being convicted and changing, repenting, and God sees that and he blesses the individual. He says there, this is the blessed man in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's referring to the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, get that, a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What is the type of man that is going to be blessed in his deeds? It is the man that looks into the word of God, sees that there are changes that need to be made and stays in front of that word until the changes are made. So he looks. You know, that word look there means to stoop beside, to show close or have a close, attentive look at something. I get the picture of someone when they're looking into a microscope. You know, and they're having a really close look into God's word. Do you ever look closely into God's word, or you just have a quick skim over it? And God's word's there. It's like a little browse. You're browsing the shops, but you're not really intently looking. Well, God's word says you need to look into it, and then continue in it. That is, stay beside the word, you abide there and allow that word of God to change you. So you stay beside the mirror for as long as it is needed until the changes are made. Now, the perfect picture of this would be a lady, particularly, I would say, on her wedding day. She will look into the mirror and make sure everything is right. And if she sees that changes are needed, she's not going to move from that mirror until all the changes are made. She'll make sure her hair is right, her fringe is right, her lipstick's right, her mascara's right, her veil's right, her dress is right. She'll make sure everything is right. And she's not budging from the mirror until it's right. And that's the type of Christian who will be blessed when they stay in God's word and say, God, I'm going to work this out, I'm going to study it out, I'm going to let you transform me from the inside out, and I'm going to meditate upon your word until you change me in this area. This is the type of blessed person who enjoys God's favor and attention. So the question is, do you want to be blessed by God? Well, a quick little prayer, God, please bless me, is not what God says brings blessing from him. But if you want God to bless your life, your family, your ministry, your church, well, the question is, are you living the way that he wants in order to enjoy these things? Do you put yourself in a place where you can hear the word of God and you listen and allow God to speak to you? And then do you actually obey it? You know, the last time you felt the tug of conviction by God as you did spend time in his word, did you surrender and obey? And have you continued to allow God to change you in that way and stay in God's word until he changes you? Or have you felt the tug, know things need to be changed, but you brushed aside and you just went out and continued your life the way it was before? If the Lord is convicting you, question is, will you obey? Please don't get mistaken in thinking that the blessing comes, as I said, just from convicting. I've preached and I've had people say, oh, the Lord really convicted me today. And praise God, that's what the Word of God's meant to do. But if that person, when they've said that, goes home and doesn't make the changes that they were convicted about, there's no blessing. In many ways, it was rather pointless. But as God says, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I wonder if that's you or not. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have your word. Yet, Lord, so often we don't treat it with the respect that it deserves. We read it, we allow you to speak to us, and we do nothing about it. Forgive us for these times. And Lord, I pray that you may give us that challenge and desire to do what you tell us to do. So, Lord, we may enjoy those blessings that come to the righteous. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.